And we now continue.
Chabby, should we even do most improved? This one gives me headaches.
Well, I think it comes down to how you determine what that even means.
Okay.
Because to me, it could be about opportunity, which would be like a Reggie Jackson situation.
Yep.
Where he was just given
or the CJ McCollum opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but to me, is that really most improved?
Right.
Like, to me, I feel like a guy like Bismack Biyombo made himself a role.
Yeah.
Which he previously did not have.
I love it.
So that's who I would give it to. Unless you're just saying who improved most statistically, it's pretty cut and dry. It's CJ McCollum or Reggie Jackson.
Or Steph Curry.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't even think of that.
Steph Curry hit 116 more threes than he did last year.
Yeah.
He broke his record. I mean, also, that's my thing. It's like, you know, like Zach LaVine is not horrible anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he improved a lot.
Yeah.
Even though that team still sucks.
Not to bring up Whiteside again. But
jeez, no, absolutely.
I mean, yeah. You got a guy who, you know, barely played last year and came in, you know, kind of like a wrecking ball, Miley Cyrus style. Then this year, he's basically in the conversation.
Well, I think the idea for
defensive player.
Absolutely. He took his per 36 last year's and actually expounded upon. He kept it up.
Right.
Like the same amount of playing time.
Which is unfair because he wasn't playing long enough last year to merit most improved player.
Right.
You know, and now this year he's kind of, you know, he was good going into the offseason, so now he was expected to be good this year, so he can't be thought of as most improved player. But I think he's someone who, if you go by a two-year window, you didn't know who he was 2 years ago, and at least we knew who CJ McCollum was.
And you know? he completed the promise he showed last year
right.
in a way that, as I mentioned earlier, like Rudy Gobert didn't.
Right.
When I thought Rudy Gobert was going to have a monstrous season,
and
he was still
step.
Like, nice, he's good.
Right.
So I think, I go Rudy Steph Curry because it blows my mind.
Rudy Gobert.
I'm not even joking. Like,
got devastated by injury. He wasn't even the same player as
he got
last
hurt.
Year.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. But this last 2 weeks, Rudy Gobert, if we'd had that all season, I think he wins Defensive Player of the Year.
So I think we all go in different weird ways with a Bismack Biyombo, a Hassan Whiteside, and a Steph Curry. All right, finally, let's do Rookie of the Year. And this is, who is your second place?
Right, yeah, because it's Big
Cat. Who is your second place rookie of the year?
I'm going to go with the only rookie that's currently on a playoff team, and that is Josh Dees Richard Slow. is the two-headed Miami Heat rookie that is about to take the NBA playoffs by storm. I do love...
I have a hard time arguing with Josh Dees Richard Slow.
That's my... That's my pick. Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis is a unicorn in a
right.
magical rainbow world. He doesn't make sense, and he's an amazing player to watch, and I can't wait to watch him grow.
I had Kristaps all year, but Nikola Jokic overtook him for me.
That's good. So mine, Chuck, is very similar. My rookie of the year is going to be Kristen Porzingis, which is the first half of Kristaps Porzingis with the second half of Devin Booker.
Yeah.
You would not believe the per 36 of this guy.
That's an offensive juggernaut.
Absolutely unbelievable.
And Porzingis' defensive excellence kind of makes up for Booker's complete lack of defensive wherewithal. So I like that hybrid.
Well, that poor Devin Booker. Not a lot was expected from him. He was playing
19 years old.
He was playing in like a Drew League game for the whole season. Like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. Porzingis has the fun argument or the interesting argument where more is required or requested of him, and he was thrust into a greater role than Jokic.
Yeah.
Who again, my love of my life, Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm the opposite. I love Porzingis more, but Jokic to me has outplayed him in the second half. But it's really a tale of two halves because Jokic was a non-entity.
But I also say, because Jokic was contributing, although it was kind of quietly, he was like third center, second center, backup. And then when thrust into a role and they actually started winning. So for me, I also give it to Nikola Jokic because I'm crazy about the guy. He's limited defensively, but he plays better than you might think for how slow he kind of is.
I think he's an excellent defensive player.
Well, he doesn't guard the rim great yet.
No,
but
he will.
The promise.
He will. He knows where you're trying to get, and he will get there first. His intelligence is what I respect about his game more than anything.
Yeah.
He's not just another big guy.
I know this guy wasn't. He's technically not a rookie since he played one game last year, but Julius Randle, who's averaging double-double and is effectively his rookie season.
Yeah.
And any other year would probably be in the running.
He'd be in the running.
A lot of guys any other year would be in the running.
This is one of the strongest rookie classes we've ever seen, and that doesn't even account, like you say, Julius Randle or Jabari Parker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Julius Randle, for me, also, I'm curious, it's he puts up great numbers. Mm-hmm. I know his value of replacement is, I think, is pretty bad as far as statistically. And I don't know, it might be some empty stats, but I'm not sure. Again,
well, I mean, Devin Booker is one of the really low in VORP. So,
and he actually ended up, Devin Booker, surprisingly, I think, ended up with a worse 3-point percentage than D'Angelo Russell,
right,
which is surprising. But well,
D'Angelo Russell could have been in the conversation had he not like Snapchatted his buddy cheating on his girlfriend.
Hey, real quick, speaking of this incredible rookie class, I have a game of scones for you guys to crash and burn. Crash and burn. This is about the rookie class. So this has been an incredible rookie class.
Uh-oh.
And your game of scones, gentlemen, is name the rookies who scored 30 points in a game.
Okay.
This season. So we have John and Chuck. First person to get three wrong.
I'll begin.
Are out. John?
Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns is correct. Who has scored over 30 multiple times.
I'm going to go with Jahlil Okafor.
Jahlil Okafor. Yes, scored 30.
Kristaps Porzingis.
No.
Oh!
That's a strike. That's a strike.
I bet he got 29.
That is a strike for John.
Okay.
D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell, yes.
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Emmanuel Mudiay, yes.
Josh Richardson.
No, that's just one strike apiece.
Okay, okay. Oh, no.
There are three left. There are three left.
Let's go with the one and only. Let's go Jokic.
No.
Damn.
I knew that. Two strikes for John.
I don't know if I can name any more rookies.
I'm going to say one we just spent a lot of time talking
Devin
about.
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker. Damn, there it
that's
is.
Cheating. No. You just cheated to help Chuck.
I put my finger up before he
said
that.
He put his finger up. He was trying to stop me. That's for our podcast listeners. There are two, and they are, you have to dig a little deeper.
So Chuck gets a hint and I don't?
That I just now giving you the hint. You have to dig a little deeper.
Pretty good hint.
Oh, dear God. Let's think here.
They're both, guys, both in the Eastern Conference.
You didn't help me at all. Hazonia.
No.
Damn it.
Let me say, man, I got nothing, dude.
These are not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, they are if you can think of the draft.
When you say it, it's going to make me so mad.
I'm going to shut it down. This is going to be old school, yell it out. These are the teams. The Raptors and the Pacers.
Miles Turner.
Yes.
Good
Miles
call.
Turner.
Yeah, Miles Turner. Who's the Raptors guy?
Yeah.
Norman Powell.
Oh. What?
Norman Powell, who threw up.
D-League superstar.
Who, John, while you were at your comedy event on the last night of the season, Norman Powell secretly threw up 30 points.
Storming Norman Powell.
That was a creepy one, then. He creeped on in.
Yeah, that was going to be, did this, true or false, did this happen last night? All right. Now moving on to the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. It is awarded every week to the worst performance and a box score, usually focused on shooting percentage. We had a lot of honorable mentions. Honestly, it's too confusing to even try to. There were so many terrible shooters. Jordan Clarkson, 2 for 14, honorable mention. Tim Frazier, 3 for 15. Deion Waiters, 5 for 22. Stauskas, 3 for 15. And Rodney Hood, who in the biggest game of the Jazz season threw up a 1 for 11, doesn't even get a real nomination. He's an honorable mention. All right. We have four guys to go through. The previously mentioned Bojan Bogdanović. 2 for 15.
That streak you mentioned earlier really flavors this for me.
It is not great. He was 2 for 15. He did score 10 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover. Then we have Hollis Thompson, who had a terrible last week of the season, and they lost to the Knicks, 1 for 11, 2 points, 1 board, 2 assists. Serge Ibaka, the 36-year-old Serge Ibaka, in a win versus the Lakers. He's 27, 26, please. He was 1-for-12, 2 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, 3 blocks. And then Seth Curry, final game of the season, did not help the Jazz out, where the Kings lost to the Rockets. He went 3-for-18, 10 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 5 turnovers. Okay, we have Bogdanovich.
I have
2-for-15, 10 points.
Vote and a soapbox to stand on with
yes.
this one. Serge Ibaka takes stupid shots for a giant shot blocker.
Yeah.
I know he thinks he's a great shooter now, and maybe statistically is an above-average shooter, or at least league average. But go down low and bang.
I got you.
I vote Serge Ibaka on the strength of that.
Yeah.
I'm the gavel.
I'm going to go with Serge Ibaka because one time I heard somebody say that Serge Ibaka sounds like Sir Chewbacca, which is...
No other way to hear it.
That's just the only way. So I've always wanted to say that on this podcast, and I haven't. So
I mean, Chewbacca got knighted at the end of episode 4, right?
So he is Sue. Yeah. Sir
Chewbacca? That's a new hope.
Didn't they like kind of smirch Chewbacca?
Oh, he was probably off to the side. Just
I think he's the only
cheering.
One. Who, I think he's the only one who didn't get a medal.
Only one who didn't get a medal.
They like put a medal around everybody's neck except for Chewbacca.
Yeah, yeah. I think you might be right. All right, so we will.
Well, let's knight Sir Chewbacca.
Let's knight Sir Chewbacca.
Okay, cool.
Congratulations on your International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. And since this is the final regular season episode, let's run through our previous winners: Anthony Davis, Kobe Bean Bryant, Mike Conley, Jahlil Okafor, Langston Galloway, the poet, Kobe Bean Bryant again, Rudy Gay, Kobe Bean Bryant again, Paul George, Kyle Korver, surprising, Dwayne Wade, Damian Lillard, Boogie Cousins, Drew Holiday, Kobe Bryant
again,
Monte Ellis, D'Angelo Russell, Jamichael Green, surprising, Marcus Smart, Kobe Bean Bryant for the last and final time, Dame Lillard, and Sir Chewbacca.
Serge.
Those are your 2015-16 International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winners.
Can we officially rechristen it the Kobe Bryant Memorial Jerry Stackhouse International Stackhouse of Pancakes?
We'll have an off-season meeting.
All yeah, right. Excellent.
Should. All right. Par fadeaway is the playoffs are coming, guys.
Here we go.
I got a different one, though.
Oh, what's your par fadeaway, Johnny?
There's a 30-30 about my favorite NBA teams ever coming out.
The Magic?
About the Orlando Magic.
92-93 Magic.
One of my favorite teams ever. I'm really looking forward to that. I recommend any NBA fan to walk down that nostalgia.
I really
lane.
Can't wait to find out what Lowe's Nick Anderson's working at now.
Jesus. I thought you were going to talk about just what lows he's reached in life.
Literal
after
lows.
Forgetting how to shoot free throws.
That's perfect. All right, so let's run through the playoff series, the first round playoff series, and we'll give our brief opinions on what we think is going to happen. Very first in the Eastern Conference, Cavs Pistons. Who you got? How many games?
Well, it looks like, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers don't beat the Pistons by much when they do beat them. Detroit has beat Cleveland 3 out of 4 by an average of, you know, 1 point a game, but they have beat them 3 out of 4. I can see the size giving them issues, or giving Cleveland issues. So I would go Pistons. No, I'm joking.
I love the balls on you.
I go Cleveland in 6. I think Detroit can catch a couple games.
Same.
I'm going to go Cavs turning on Cav sweep.
Wow,
Pistons look lost.
You don't, DeAndre
Drummond. It's all about the Kinsane Clown Posse.
I think,
can he slow down?
If he's not in his shots, Tobias maybe, but like I'm not seeing it. There's no backup point guard, and
I don't think the Cavs can sweep anybody though.
They might not.
Right,
okay. They're not that type of team. There's too many highs and lows.
Post unfollowed Cavaliers on Twitter. LeBron.
Oh, he's on
sweeping fire. Fools.
Dialed in, shooting 60%. All right.
That is a different beast than the LeBron that shot 28% from 3 all year.
Raptors, Pacers.
This is hard.
The 2-7, Raptors versus the 7 Pacers. I feel like if this series was played 2 months ago, it's hard. I feel like the Pacers haven't given me a lot. Miles Turner hit the wall. I'm not seeing a crazy amount of good play from the Pacers, anyone on the team.
Paul George has never scored more than 20 against the Raptors.
Oh, that's
this year.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So,
that's all about Jan Mahinmi for me, boys.
Oh, man. Miles Turner.
Jan Mahinmi, man.
Yeah.
He's like a most improved
candidate. Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who got good. The Raptors, for me,
I don't trust those Raptors big men.
The Raptors are the throwback Grizzlies who hadn't won a playoff game. Like, they haven't.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure on them to get out of the first round.
I think it's Raptors in five.
I'm going to go Raptors in six, even though I don't. I kind of hate what the Pacers have become. I don't feel a lot of what they're doing.
I'll go Raptors in seven.
But I'm nervous they're going to drop that first home game.
I could
they're
see Paul
be too tight.
I could see Paul George picking it up. He does have playoff experience. He is a guy that's been to the conference finals. It could be
DeMar DeRozan ain't scoring on that, Paul George.
And you know, watching the playoffs, it's kind of cliche, and you hear people say it, but it's true that the pressure does affect people. And with Toronto never having any real success, it could affect.
I think if Toronto tries to lean on like Jonas Valanciunas for secondary scoring, they could lose this series. Like they need to play like the Biombo. They need to play the defensive line.
I mean, my question is still, well, the Raptors regular season is all about jump shots and free throws.
Right.
And it's maybe maybe not a great matchup. Maybe it could get.
Take it easy, Charles Barkley.
Things could get tight. I don't think a jump shooting team can win the game. No, I'm kidding.
How's it going?
All right. So now the 3, 6, 4, 5 are, in my mind, incredible toss ups. Yeah. So Chuck's Miami Heat versus the upstart Charlotte Hornets.
Heat in five.
Oh, you think the Heat's going to put their foot down?
I really do. I think this is. I don't think the Hornets is going to work in the playoffs. A nice story, cool story, bro.
Yeah,
but I think you'll see a dialed in Dwayne Wade for one thing. I think, I think Josh Dease, Richard Slow, that could be a thing come playoff time. There could be a legend made for that hybrid.
What about Darrell Wright? Darrell old Gree Wright.
I think when it comes to the playoffs, it's, you know, historically everything slows down. Offenses have a harder time getting points, and I think this Heat team is a really good top 10 defense, maybe even better, and can dial it up, which I think will affect Charlotte. I'm going Heat in seven.
Ooh, seven. I'm really torn about the series. I feel like when Charlotte gets on, they play some of the best ball of any of the teams in the NBA. I think they're one of the few teams. They're one of those handful of teams that actually good D and good offense.
Right. Here's the problem, Keith, for them.
Yep.
That Josh Dish, Richard Slow, like those two guys play great defense, and you don't have to shut down the whole team to beat Charlotte. If they can just Harry Kemba and keep a guy like Jeremy Lin providing the secondary scoring, I mean, that's why Charlotte, their games, they can look so good and then so bad.
Oh, they're all over the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect like a 45-point, at least two 45-point games from Kemba, and then if that's the case, then they
I'm a little worried Kemba is going to throw up like the 7 for 22, and then that's going to be the series. I guess I will go Heat in seven.
Yeah.
And that is honestly just because I can't make my mind up. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think they're almost, you know, very similar teams, but just with different, you know, adjustments on offense. I think the Heat are as good on defense comparatively as the Charlotte is on offense. So I think you can always bet on the defense to win.
Is our boy Josh Richardson going to hit threes? Now that it's for real?
I think his responsibility really is more set to his skill set this time, because I think his major responsibility in this game is going to be defensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a great defender. Yeah.
He's incredible. So is Winslow.
He's a really irritating defender.
Winslow and Richardson alone just on the defensive end will cause...
Can you call him by their Christian name, Justice Richard Slow, that you invented earlier in the show? Richard Slow.
All right.
Most compelling one.
The 4-5, the Celtics-Hawks.
Yeah. This is... I think this is the closest one. Atlanta has won 3 or 4, and they've beat them, Boston, handily by 7.5 points in each game. I believe in Brad Stevens. I think he can figure out.
You're not a Budenholzerstan?
Coach Boots. He's
Budenholzer.
I think he's been figured out, and there's really nothing left. I think this is the coaching matchup, because both teams are effectively, to me, the same on a talent level. No real superstar. Kind of deep.
Al Horford scoffs at you.
And they rely on ball movement. They rely on a team concept to get everything done. But I think Brad Stevens is going to edge out Budenholzer for this. And I would go Celtics in seven.
I really wanted to take the Celtics like I did last year, hilariously, against the Cavs.
Right. But, right. You boldly.
But really, okay. Who defends the duo of Millsap and Horford for the Celtics? Secondly, Chuck's stat of the winning 3 of 4 and by the margin of 7.5 to me helps weigh me a little more too. And then also, do y'all remember playoff Jeff Teague?
Didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
Didn't like it.
It's pretty good. Playoff Teague.
Oh, playoff Teague.
Playoff Teague is a thing.
Is it bringing it? I'm just remembering their poor showing in the conference finals. Yeah.
I'll go Hawks in 7.
This one is so interesting.
Yeah. How are you going? You going to seize?
I'm going to go.
Look at you.
I don't know. I just want to flip a coin. I think the series might tie.
Give me something here. You're supposed to be the knowledgeable one.
I'm supposed to be the knowledgeable one, but I don't feel like, I mean, one, I've never been great at calling games. So
in fact, you're the worst.
You
can cause gluts of games, you can call a series.
Yeah. All right, so I think the Hawks are going to win. So I'll pick the Celtics.
Parrish lining it.
I'll go Hawks in 6. But again, Celtics fans, if you're listening, you're probably very happy. So all right, Hawks in 6, I guess. Again, no confidence whatsoever.
Right.
To the West we go.
Yeah. So the Western Conference.
Do we skip the first round of
one-eight? Do you think the Rockets are going to get a game?
No. Can we move on?
I think they're going to get a game.
I'll go Warriors in 5.
Oh, yeah, Warriors in 5 and Warriors in 4 Chuck.
I think the Warriors are going fo-fo-fo. Oh. I think they're going to sweep it all out.
That's crazy.
Really? They're going to
Spurs, Grizzlies.
I think the Spurs will sweep the Grizzlies.
Anyone think the Grizzlies get a game?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
That's so pathetic.
I think we're not having
a Grizzlies epilogue.
I think game 3 might be close. I'm going to game 4. I can't make it to game 3. I'll be at game 4 to bid my respects.
If anyone wants to buy tickets, contact K. Parrish with 1 R.
I have way too many tickets. Hit us up on Fast Break. I have Fast Break Break on Twitter. Way too many tickets. All right. The 3-6, the Thunder Mavs. Can Carlisle whip up anything?
No.
I don't think the Warlock can do this. I got Thunder in 5.
5.
I am so... I feel like I'm low on the Thunder.
Right.
I'll go Thunder in 6.
Yeah.
I can see him, that's
a vote for Carlisle.
But I feel like the matchup's not good.
It's
not.
Oklahoma's swept Dallas in the season series by almost 10 points a game.
Yeah, they've been killing them.
They destroyed the
Thunder always beat the Mavericks.
The Thunder owned the Mavericks.
I would go 4 for Thunder, but I just figure there's a wiggle game there where Dirk has one final
throwback game.
The West first round looks so horrible.
JJ Barea.
Clippers Portland, that's probably our
Clippers,
best.
Portland is absolutely the best first round.
Yeah, it looks good. The Clippers have beat Portland in 3 of 4.
It's another bad matchup.
But it's very close. All the games are real close. So there's no way I'm going to bet against Chris Paul. Okay. In the playoffs,
a weird sentence.
I know. Well, I mean, as far as like the first round, and
you're going to doubt him in the West Finals?
Yeah. And, you know, Dame Lillard, to me, while he has had some incredible playoff performances, I don't think the supporting cast around that team is as good as what they have there in LA. So
I agree.
I'm going with the better of two players in Chris Paul.
Yeah. I'll go. How many games?
Clippers
did you say?
6.
Yeah, I'll go Clippers 5.
I think this is going to be a knockdown dragout.
Really?
I don't see it. I'll go Clippers in 7. I don't love anything I've seen from the Clippers recently. I know they win. I know they've been winning games.
Right.
But I don't love their lineup. I feel like things have gotten weird with not knowing who to play at the 3. They keep putting out too many lineups. They don't have shooters.
Right.
I feel like Portland plays, they know what they're doing. Like, not they know what they're doing in a, not like the Warriors know what they're doing. Like, right. this team that has an identity, at least.
Sure.
I know they'll have trouble. I think it all depends on the streakiness of Dame and CJ. And I think we might get a real good series from that. So I'll say Clippers in 7. Okay, so who do you guys think are going to advance from each conference? You want to stick with the, let's stick with the West. And who do we think is moving on? Are we all saying that it's just we're just waiting for Spurs Warriors.
Yeah.
That's a real championship for me.
We're waiting for Spurs Warriors and then maybe some sort of weird event in the East where, you know, Chris Bosh starts playing in the playoffs and Miami makes Thunder, it to the finals or something crazy like that happening.
My stuff is boring and chalky, and I've got the Cavs and the Dubs.
Thunder Spurs, how many games?
That could be a 7-game series.
You think Spurs in 7?
6.
I think the Spurs, I think there's a chance they stumble a bit in the playoffs, and I don't know what's that's based on. I feel like the
hopes.
It could just be. I mean, I don't think they're stumbling against the Grizzlies.
Could be age. It could be the fact that, you know, that team is statistically on paper the best Spurs team of all time. Which, you know, I know it could be misleading, but
people have really, really slept on how much of an impact LaMarcus Aldridge has had.
No, he's
been incredible.
Yeah,
he's been really great.
I definitely underestimated how good he would be.
Yeah.
On the Spurs, and so we think the Warriors and Clippers won't be much of anything.
No, that's going to be another. I think they're going 4 across.
I think it's
going
to be a great.
I think that'd be a great series. The Clippers play the Warriors really, really well.
They've been playing them really tight. All right.
I think that'll be 6 or 7 games.
Who do we think the Cavs are playing in the East? I think we've been unanimous on all of these.
Yeah, I think we can go Toronto in the finals.
In my mind, it's a toss-up. In my mind, 2 through 6 in the East, I don't know. I'm not joking. Like, I don't think the Pacers are struggling, and I don't think the Pistons are beating the Cavs. But you tell me the Hawks, the Celtics, the Heat.
I think the Heat and the Hawks are to me the two teams that could get to the conference finals. But I do think this like post Twitter unfollowed LeBron is really frightening, and I don't really know who can handle him.
Right, I agree. So we're all saying in unanimous Cavs Warriors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dull.
Dumb.
And then the Warriors will kill the Cavs.
Well, and here's where I'm kind of. This is where I may be.
Were you pining for LeBron?
I do remember last year, and I remember a Kevin Loveless, Kyrie-less LeBron's Cavs really making havoc.
They made it uncomfortable.
It was a heroic performance.
It was very, and this is my philosophy with it. LeBron is individually the most dominant player of our era that I've watched basketball. I think he could.
Steph scores 45 in 26 minutes.
But here's the thing. I think LeBron has the ability to really turn it up, and I think he's just been tired the whole season, and he can be as electrifying as Steph Curry, but he just is going to wait until the games actually matter. That's what I'm afraid of.
What a weirdo.
I don't ever predict anything correctly, and I think the Warriors are going to win the title.
No, right. I believe you're right.
So there you are.
I believe you are.
I'll take the field.
But I can see LeBron averaging 38 a game in the finals and pull a, you know, kind of a crazy.
I think it's going to come down to Kevin Love for the Cavs if they're going to make a run at a title. Like,
but it's going to come down to someone else. It's going to come down to like, is Mo Williams going to be healthy and win a game? Is he going to pull off like a 28-6-6 game like he did in the regular season out of the blue?
Right.
Like, is Kyrie going to hit his shots? Is Kevin Love going to hit his? That's the fun of the playoffs.
Right.
All right. So does anyone have anything else to close?
No.
Awesome.
I think we talked about everything.
Yeah, so thanks for sticking around for all that. We are going to rabble a playoff game at some point. We'll let you know. Follow us on Twitter at @FastBreakBreak. Write us a review on iTunes. Really helps us out. Raises us in the search results.
5 stars only,
again,
y'all.
Check out fanessentials.net for all your gear that you need for your NBA teams. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We hope your team wins. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.